Grace to you and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our text today, we consider two sections from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy. First of all, we hear chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. St. Paul writes, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." We also hear from 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, St. Paul writes, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And we pray, "These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen." Please be seated. It's clear that God wants children to be taught his word so that they might know him and so that they might know that he loves them dearly, as we just sang. So Deuteronomy 6 says, "Diligently teach your children, teach them my word and commandments," God says. Proverbs 22, "Train up a child in the way he should go." Ephesians 6, "Fathers, bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord." Even our Lord Jesus, he says, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It's true, children are precious in the eyes of God, and he wants the Christian faith to be shared with them. He wants the faith to be passed down from generation to generation. This is the way he has designed it, and it is clear in his word. So think of a relay race in track. When you're running in a relay race, you are carrying a baton until you get to that next person, and you hand that baton off so that they can then run it to the next person in the next leg of the race. But what happens in those races when that baton is fumbled or dropped or it goes flying out of your hand mid-stride? That's a devastating thing, and it usually brings loss and failure to your race. And so it is when the baton of the Christian faith is dropped, or when it goes flying out of our hands. What does that then mean for those who come after us? The chances of success for them to have and to know Christ, they drop so drastically when that baton of faith is fumbled. St. Paul talks about this in Romans 10. How can people believe in the one about whom they have not heard? Faith comes by hearing the message, and that message is the word of Christ. So, dear friends, be aware of the devil's attacks and how desperately the devil is trying to knock that baton out of your hands. He would love nothing more than to create a whole generation of people that don't have the faith, that have lost it. I have a core memory. I was probably about 12 years old, riding bikes with some friends and other neighborhood kids, when somehow I explained that I didn't know any of them because I went to Our Redeemer Lutheran School, and I was a Christian, and I believed in Jesus and in the Bible. Suddenly, a high school-aged neighbor kid, he shouts at me, "Why do you believe that garbage? Religion shouldn't be forced on children. That's crazy. They should be able to make their own decisions about what they believe. What you're believing is nonsense. It's stupid. You shouldn't believe that." Growing up in California, there were a lot of situations like that, and I'm sure that you probably have your own situations where you faced similar sentiment and attitudes from people. These are attitudes and sentiments that continue still today and even grow worse today. Even recently, I had some parents tell me, "No, we're not at all interested in baptism for our baby or for our children. We don't want our children to grow up thinking that only one religion is right. We hear people repeat the false narrative that organized religion is really the root cause of all evil and all problems in the world, and that it's actually dangerous and deadly to repeat these things to young people. Many people even buy into Richard Dawkins' radical assertion that teaching children to accept their family's religious beliefs is a terrible kind of child abuse, and that it shouldn't be done. How preposterous. All children or all parents, even hardened atheists, will instill values and beliefs in the children that they are raising. Even if you were able to succeed in raising your children in some uninfluenced way, free of religion, free of any worldviews, if you were able to raise a child in a vacuum, the default version of that person is not going to be a good thing. Dr. Holberg talked about that yesterday in chapel. There's a monster living inside each and every single one of us because of our original sin, because of our sinful nature. The fact is, we need God's help. We need his love. We need his forgiveness from the very moment our lives begin. Just as infants and children need to be cared for and fed in order to have physical health and well-being, so it is in a spiritual sense. The same is true for our spiritual health and well-being. Little ones need to be cared for and nurtured. Little children desperately need people to care for them spiritually. People of all ages need Jesus. People of all ages need the forgiveness that he brings. So let me ask you, reflect a little bit in your own life. Who have been those people for you in your life? Who are the Loises and Eunices for you? Who was it that taught you Scripture? Who brought you to the baptismal font? Who brought you to confirmation classes and made sure you did your memory work assignments? Who made sure you would be confirmed so that you can now receive the sacrament of the altar? Who brought you to meet God? Who did God work through so that you might become his own beloved child? And whoever it was, whatever that human resource was that God worked through to bring you to this point where you are a Christian, praise God for those people. Praise God for that person or people and for this treasure, for this legacy that they have handed off and shared with you. And be encouraged by this. This is a wonderful blessing from God, this intergenerational nature of the Christian church. You and I, we're not out here on our own trying to fend for ourselves. Sometimes I have this recurring nightmare where I have this giant box of furniture parts with a lowly Allen wrench and a set of instructions in a foreign language. It's a hopeless task. How am I going to get it all put together? That's not the case for us. We have people with us who have wisdom, who have experience in putting all these things together. God has blessed you and me with those who came before us, with those who care about us, who love us, who are praying for us, who are encouraging us and teaching us, supporting us when we are discouraged and troubled. What a blessing these past generations that we still have with us are to us. What a blessing they are from God. And especially in this epistle, 2 Timothy, Paul, later on in the epistle, he acknowledges that there's a lot of trouble, there's a lot of difficulty that young Pastor Timothy will be facing, a lot of discouragement that he would be facing in his life. The world is going astray. All these people are seemingly dropping the baton of faith. And yet, in spite of the discouragement, in spite of those terrible circumstances that Timothy would face, Paul encourages him here in our text by pointing that this faith that he has been handed is a tried and true, it's a proven thing. There's a reason why those who came before Timothy felt the need and were compelled to share it with Timothy, even when he was in infancy. And so Paul talks about those forefathers. He talks about himself as a spiritual father to Timothy. He name drops Timothy's mom and grandma into Holy Scripture, Eunice and Lois, as those who planted and were probably still at that time encouraging Timothy's faith. These were people, these were the human resources who were there from Timothy, even when he was an infant, from a small child, who helped him know the Holy Scriptures, who put this powerful, holy, life-giving, saving word of God into young pastor, or into young Timothy's hands and into his heart. And that's the encouragement that remains here for you and me today. When the devil attacks us and tries to strip us of that faith, we can rejoice because we have people who are here to encourage us along the way. We have generations who have come before us, who have endured these attacks and have clung to the Scriptures, which they continue to share with us and proclaim to us and apply to our lives. We are given this great legacy. That's a fun word, legacy, this thing that you get to pass down to others. And this, for us as Christians, is our greatest legacy, one that we enjoy from those who have come before us. What a treasure we have in knowing that because of Jesus' perfect life that he lived, our brother, the Son of God who came into our world, lived a holy, perfect life. And he endured far worse mockery and ridicule than we have ever faced. And he did so without ever stumbling into doubt or misbelief. He never acted out with any apathy toward faith. He never dropped that baton of faith. Jesus earned perfect righteousness. And that's something that we could never have done. We couldn't do on our own. But he did, and he now hands it down to you and me. What a treasure. And because of our Lord Jesus' willingness to endure the mockery and agony of the cross, there in that place, he's taken our sins and he's put them all upon himself. And he paid for them all with his lifeblood. So you and I now have this treasure. We have the legacy of the forgiveness of sins. God now looks at you and me and he declares us to be justified. We are innocent. We are without sin as he looks at us. And what a great treasure that is, because it assures to us that just as Jesus is risen from the dead, we too have a legacy of eternal life, of resurrection from the dead. It belongs to you and me too. The Christian faith being handed down, what a precious treasure. Yes, the devil will try and rip it out of our hands. He wants us to lose sight of it. What a blessing to have this intergenerational community of believers who are here to support one another. What a blessing to have the Christian family that has instilled in us and encourages us with God's word. And this is something that we not only cling to for ourselves, but this is something that we see the value in, and we're going to want to pass it on to our own children and youth and to all the young people around us. And that's why in the prayer of the church on Sundays, we pray for the little ones who are baptized in your name, that they may be brought up in your fear. Those are prayers that people pray for you. We also serve as role models. And we encourage our little ones and the children and young people around us as we witness our faith in our word and in our deeds. We seek after ways to support our churches and our Christian schools and our college, these places where young people are being fed the saving word of God. And we want to support these places with volunteering in them and with our financial support. There's so many ways that we can encourage and support our little ones. If you're interested, we would love to have anyone who would like to come and teach Sunday school, help us teach the little ones. Our seminary students, we often hit them up to come and join us at Vacation Bible School. And what a joy to make an impact and to share this baton of the Christian faith with the next generation. Maybe God will even move some of you, and I know he has moved some of you, to to seek after being called workers, pastors, and teachers in his church. What a blessing, what a joy we have in this heritage. And God has promised to bless this work among us. We see that in our text. Lois, Eunice, these faithful women, family members of Timothy, they were there. And they encouraged him and brought him up in the faith. And likewise, when and if God gives you children, we will see the value in this as well. Seeking to pass that baton of faith also to them, to that next generation. What a blessing it is. Not only that we get to stand with generations before us who have handed it off to us, but also that we get to pass it off to the generations still to come, to our own children and grandchildren. What a blessing and privilege it is. God be praised that we get to be counting ourselves and our loved ones among Jesus' little lambs, and that we will get to join him at his side in heaven. All glory be to him. Amen. Please rise for prayer. We pray, O Lord, be with all of our young people. We ask you to give us wisdom and hearts of love as we consider them and as we seek after their spiritual welfare. Lord, let the light of your gospel continue to grow and shine among future generations. We also today pray for the family of Adele Walker, the sister-in-law of Jeff Haugen. Adele passed away recently. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in this time of sadness, we pray that you would comfort the members of Adele's family who mourn her passing. We thank you for all of the blessings that you brought into the lives of her loved ones through her service to you. Strengthen them by your grace as we look forward to the blessed reunion of your saints in heaven. We ask this all in Christ's saving name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.